welcome to the Sometimes Video Games podcast. I'm Adam, I'm hosting today. And as per usual, I am joined by the lovely Charlie Walsh.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you doing?
Yeah, all right. I'm very tired. I've had no sleep. So I have to wake up early for football.
That is typical of you though, right? No sleep.
No, it is, but I got to bed at about 7 and probably didn't sleep until 15, 20 minutes after that, and then I had to wake up at 11 for football.
Or 7 a.m.
I'm dead.
That makes sense. I'm
dead. But apart from that, I'm fine.
Good, good. Also joined by the now world famous Louis Bertussel. How are you?
Sometimes wake up and think, if I could enslave all of my enemies.
Oh god, this is
bad. Oh, this is bad.
What would you do if you could enslave all your enemies? Would you do it?
All of my enemies.
How many enemies do you have?
At least one.
So if you could enslave your singular enemy, you would?
I mean, it's still all of his enemies, is it not?
I mean, yeah, sure. What would you do with them? What would you force them to do as a slave?
Just make them do chores around the house.
So you'd like...
Can I just say, before we carry on, I just want to say that I'm against deep diving into this. Carry on.
I just want to know what Louis would make them do, but if it's so you want them as sort of a living housekeeper more than anything?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Or a maid of some kind.
I'd be like, oh, hello, slave. Could you do dishes for us, please? Cheers.
I don't think you want a slave. What you want there is a living cleaner who you call slave. Just someone to look after your every need. Who lives with you. How are we doing? Are we having a nice day? What are we up to? It's evening now. It's 4:30. We're a little
bit late. Charlie gets uncomfortable. It makes me happy.
You love when Charlie's uncomfortable. Yep. I mean, that's fair. Do you love when you're uncomfortable, Charlie?
Yeah, obviously not.
it's why I joined his show today, because I thought, oh, Charlie's online, I'm gonna have some fun with this.
To be fair, that didn't make me uncomfortable. That just made me happy. It was just the way. I don't know, what was it you said when you came in? You were like, "Why are you so bad?" or something. Was like the first thing you said.
This is Louis' thing, right? It's the actual deprecation.
I was 100% okay with it. I don't mind Louis getting involved in the live chat. Is more than okay.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
The thing is, because the worst thing
that could have happened.
The worst things that Louis could even think of to say for shock value, that's just something I have to deal with. in those kind of circles. So I'm completely fine with Louis.
Like, half the chat would just agree with him.
Oh my god. And then I'd have to reiterate to you, chat, like, I am not serious, by the way. You utter monsters.
it's a good thing.
Would you legitimately agree with the horrible shit that I say? You utter, oh, that's horrid.
You never know. We will all never know exactly why this happens, but it does. How was the football, Charlie? Did you enjoy yourself?
Yeah, I laughed. When West Ham scored the winner, I laughed, I think, I want to say, for at least a solid 90 seconds. It was
on scale for the amount of time that they play.
Yeah, well, yeah, very much so. Yeah, 110. It was disgraceful. It should not have happened, but it did, so I'm fine with it. Yeah, but apart from that, it was fine. Louis was in chat, so I had a good
day. Louis was in chat, so we're all happy about it.
Yeah, sometimes, depending on what it's like, it can be a drag. And the match was mad, and then Louis turns up, and I was like, yes, good day. First half was bad, I could not.
How awkward does it get in your chat sometimes? When there's not much going on, does it get noticeably awkward or uncomfortable for you in any way?
No, because I will just... The thing is, we were talking before, just before we went on about, we didn't really talk about it, we mentioned it, but the idea of, cultivating specific communities and stuff. And, like, I think, by and large, the people, like, Louis, you saw it with the baby bell thing. Like, by and large, people who get involved in that chat are, like, there is a core group of, say, 100 of them who are very here for just complete nonsense. Like, they will 100, like, who are there every single match day and are there for complete and utter, just a shambles of ridiculousness, right?
Mm.
And so, even when it's, the matches are really bad, and, like, say you have the most boring 0-0 in the world where nothing happens, like, someone in chat will just be like, what's the best crisp? And then all of a sudden it just descends into some anarchy and everyone gets involved. So I think it's quite easy in that sense. Like, I think because I am stupid and an idiot quite publicly all of the time, the people in there tend to be
you fine attract with it. People like, who are similar to you. So I don't know, but I think we can sort of say it with sometimes VG as well. You attract people that are similar to you and have the same sort of values and morals that you do. And if you're openly, like, weird in chats and so openly an idiot, you'll attract people who are interested or entertained by or are similarly also idiots, which is not an insult to any of our listener viewer base, because we love them, but we're there's a reason why they get along with us so much, and it's because we're idiots, I think.
Yeah, I think, like, it's noticeable to me how, like, it's weird, like, because I didn't realize it fully, but there was this for the last, like, 2-3 months, I've tried to do the shows, like, slightly differently. I've tried to, like, present them in a slightly different way. Mm. And it has worked because the views have gone, like, significantly up.
Yeah.
But I have noticed, like, before I tried to do it a slightly different way, I did notice that when I spoke more about football, I saw the numbers go down. I saw the viewers go down, because I do see the viewers, like, the entire time. I try not to look, because it's just like, it's just that way lies madness, you shouldn't look.
No,
but, like,
sure, yeah.
I did notice there was a time when before now where, like, if I would talk, like, for significant chunks of time about the football, I would see the numbers go down. And I was like, okay, that just made me realize, like, it is actually completely okay, which is why, like you say, Louis, like, if someone says something, I just go watch someone else. I'm fine with that. I really don't mind. Like, go watch one of the there's plenty of channels doing it. Like, on match day, there'll be at least 4 West Ham channels doing a watch along, if not 5, if not 6. Like, just go watch another one. I don't mind. It's not. I genuinely do not mind.
To them, it matters more to them. Just to they want to tell you that you're bad. That's what matters to them, Charlie. They don't care about watching the other. They just want to let you know that you're bad. That's all they care about.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But thankfully it's all right. I mean, like, even terrible games. And to be fair, I quite like. This is a weird thing to say. I appreciate, but I quite like bad football games. Like. Yeah. Because I'm into, like, tactics and other sort of nonsense, I can
find
something to say. Like, I can find interesting points, and I can break it down in a way where I'm like, okay, I can actually talk about this, and this is happening, and that's why that's happening, and move it around or whatever. So even when it's a terrible, boring, awkward game that no one likes, and if you're sitting in a stadium, it's the worst thing in the world. When you're sitting there with, say, 200 or so people watching, if it's on a bad day where it's 200 or something, I say, it's still quite good. Yeah. Like, yeah. And then, like I say, then people come in and complain that I don't celebrate enough.
So when we're talking about football, I was curious. As people may or may not know, on my own channel, Rabbit Sahoy, I've been playing Football Manager on Sundays, which is a little push there. Come watch me on Sundays. I'm having a good time. The team that I'm managing on Football Manager is in the Welsh Premier League, called Kevin Druids.
Big Kev,
and I was just checking to see how they did, whether they had a game today, and and they did have a game today.
Go on.
3-1.
Ah, oh, big dubs
to Cardiff Met.
Oh, big L's. Big L's.
However, Charlie Edge, the Edge from the U2, as I like to refer to him, did score a goal for Kevin Druids. And he's like one of the best players on my team, so. Like, I see it and I'm like, oh, I recognize that name. Shit. It's fun. I was talking to someone in our group who also comes to see my streams, Arctic Foss, and he was sort of saying that I should go on a trip to the Kevin Druids.
Yes, yes.
Field. I don't know. It's called the Rock Stadium.
Mate, over to the Rock.
Yeah.
Where is where? Where in Wales is it? I know they're twinned with Wrexham. Is it near Wrexham?
It's near Wrexham. Yeah, it's really close to Wrexham.
I said, do you know what? Even when it's
twinned with Wrexham,
the worst thing is that's scarily achievable from your end of the country.
Oh, yeah.
That's the right end.
I could definitely take a day trip out to Wrexham and just record a video where I go see the Rock.
That is like 100% within your like. That's doable for you. Like, if it was in the like Swansea, Newport-y kind of end of Wales, yeah, it might be like a bit of a trek. But not that it's not a trek now. But Wrexham's, that's North Wales, isn't it? If I'm wrong, I might be wrong. But sure. I think it's North Wales.
I think it is North Wales though. We were talking about how all the all the clickbait that we could essentially do with
Wrexham
with this stuff, like Ryan Reynolds and The Rock.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's two.
And I don't think I actually told you. I don't think I've spoken to you since Sunday, Charlie. We have a crazy preseason going.
Oh, gone.
We played a friendly against Bolton Wanderers.
Okay.
We did lose. However, we played incredibly well.
Take that.
We shouldn't. We should. We lost what, 3-1? We lost 3. To put it into.
That's not bad.
How it goes. Kevin Druids lost 3-1 against Cardiff Met. We lost 3-1 against Bolton Wanderers.
Not Cardiff City.
Cardiff Met. We're also playing against a Portuguese team from the Portuguese Premier League. Don't know why they accepted a friendly, but sure. Bethesda. They're coming down.
Love that.
We're getting Todd Howard back in the Rock. I was just like, Jesus Christ. Oh, and what's the other one? Is it Robbie Savage's football club?
Oh, yeah.
They're coming as well. They're coming on by to the Rock. I was just like, we've got a mad preseason, you know?
You've got just a big team off the big team.
Me, as manager of Kevin Druids, is a good thing. I should actually just apply for the job. See what happens.
Give it a shot.
Manager of Kevin Druids.
It can't be bad. We did find Arctic Foss suggested that I should get a t-shirt, a football shirt for Kevin Druids for the streams.
That would be fun.
They would be fun. However, the only one on the internet that we saw was 30 quid and it was from Romania.
What? Yeah. Did he not send them on their club website?
I don't think they do. I think the team is so small that you have to go there and pick them up.
Love that. Love that. We could maybe shoot them an email and see if, like, do you have a PayPal or something? We give you the money.
Sponsored by Kevin Druids, please? I'm playing you in Football Manager.
That would be unreal. Like, do you remember... So AFC Wimbledon, who were obviously the offshoot from the old Wimbledon team when they changed it to be an MK Dons. And a bunch of fans were like, nope, not happening. And so they went and built their own Wimbledon. And they've come up to be as good as MK Dons now after years and years and years. But anyway, I always remember, what's his name? John Green.
Mm.
Was it John Green or was it Hank Green? No, John Green, the one who did The Fault in Our Stars and all that.
Yeah.
Back when he was on YouTube and he had a fucking Let's Play channel. And he did a Let's Play of playing FIFA with AFC Wimbledon.
Nice.
To the point where one of the stands at their stadium's named after him now. Because I don't know if he ended up sponsoring them, I think was the way it ended up happening.
Beautiful.
But yeah, so maybe you could get some sort of Kevin Druids thing going, you know what I mean?
We could, maybe. If we lean hard into the Kevin Druids. But I don't know if I'll stay with Kevin Druids. It's a journey.
Yeah, but it's part of your history now. That's the point.
It is part of my history now, yeah. And it's good fun. It's been good
fun. Get a shirt for the team, you know, just have it. you know, wearing it about. People come up to you like, oh my God, you're a Kevin Druids fan. You're like, yeah.
No, I'm the manager of Kevin Druids.
I am Kevin Druids.
Hello, my name is Kevin Druids.
I am Kevin Druids. it is me, Kevin Druids. I think that's a good idea, though. I reckon we could. I genuinely think we should email them and just be like, not even for like sponsorship purposes. Just be like, if I send you money, can you send me a shirt?
I don't know. I might have to get in touch with them and see. I just think it was a fun thought, and then the thought of just going there and just being like, hey, I'm in The Rock. It's good. It's good fun.
How they like. I don't like a lot of like old football fans, especially. I don't know how many do it nowadays, but I know it used to be a big thing. Like when I was a kid or whatever, I remember where like their granddad would die or whatever, grew up supporting Arsenal their entire life or whatever, and they would go and spread his ashes at Highbury at their old stadium, before it got knocked down and stuff. Yeah. Which is why it's sticking out of my mind. It just gets to the stage where like this is where I'm going to have my ashes spread at the Kevin Druids at The Rock.
God. I'm going to be buried in The Rock. I'm going to manage the team till I die.
Mate, get involved.
My granddad supported Kevin Druids, as well as my dad, and I will also support Kevin Druids all our lives. They outrate good and make us feel nice and happy inside.
I don't know what it is with Football Manager. I just get attached to the team that I'm managing, and I always want to see how they're doing.
So at the moment, whenever I've had any time, I've played like Football Manager. I've been playing West Ham Save on Football Manager.
Sure,
but it has completely muddled up my brain. Like going into today's match, I was so angry at Kufal because he's been crap on Football Manager for like 10 games. I'm like, you've been awful, but I can't. You're just like the best right back we have, but you've been awful. And then when he was playing today, I instinctively got a bit nervous because I was like, you've been so bad recently. But then I realized, no, he's just, that's in game, Charlie. It's like, it's messing with my brain. I can't be dealing with it at all.
But like, I think there's kind of a, it is kind of, I mean, it's not a really a representative of real life, but like, it is sort of representative of real life. Like, I know who the good players in Kevin Druids are. There's like two. And it just so happens that one of them is the one that scores goals for me and the one that scores goals in real life.
I was going to ask what their stats were. Like, I need. I'm going to have to look up Kevin Druids is what's going to happen. So I'm going to have to look up Kevin Druids now.
What stats do you... Oh, I mean, I know they've won zero games this season.
No, specifically player stats. Also, I'm on the Kevin Druids website just because I was looking for shirts. And they have at the top, you know, it has like home, about, the team, news, academy, all those sort of tabs at the top, right, where you can click through, right?
Yeah.
I wanted to click on team so I could see pictures of them. It just doesn't work.
There is no team. There's a picture of the team there, but I don't know if that's the most real, like the most up-to-date team, or if it's just our team that happened at one point.
It is what it is.
It is. It works at the bottom. There's on the homepage. There's, if you go down a little bit, there's the team and more info.
The individual players have sponsorships for individual. Adam Louis, how do we feel like sponsoring one of Kevin Druids' players?
Who do you want to sponsor?
I don't know. I'll have a look and get back to you.
I'll have a look and get back. Yeah.
God.
I don't think I can afford to sponsor her, but we could try.
It's only a specific one, specific player. You're basically just paying for their kit and stuff. So, like, don't get me wrong, it'll be out of our price range. But at the same time, what if we sponsor?
I don't think this team is very different from my team, sadly. I don't know any of these people. I don't know if this is actually the team or if this is just a team from a long time ago. Like, it says 2017 here. So I think this is 2017's team. They've not updated it.
Maybe they should.
Maybe they should, yeah. I would expect them to. I don't know. It's a weird one. Who's the manager? That's not me. Hugh Griffiths. There we go.
Isn't he a news presenter?
That's Hugh Davies. Hugh Davies?
Sure. Edwards.
Who Davids? Who Edwards? Is, yeah, I keep getting confused. Who Edwards is the Welsh journalist? Yeah. Who Davies is a rugby player apparently. Who is the radio presenter that I Radio One? Who Radio? Who Stevens? That's the one I got really confused about. It was who Stevens
who's,
and
who's Stevens?
Who's Stevens? Who's Stevens?
Who's Stevens? It was,
who's Stevens?
We were asked a question when I first started uni about who Edwards, about what was his name and how do you spell it. And I knew how to spell his entire name because, sure, I know how to spell who, it's H-U-W. But I kept getting him confused with who Stevens, the Radio 1 presenter.
Who Stevens?
Instead of who Edwards, we got who Stevens. We spelt who right. We were the only people who spelt who right, but I got the last name wrong, so we didn't get any points.
Who Stevens?
Who Stevens? Who Edwards? I don't know.
Who Edwards indeed?
Who Edwards?
Who Edwards?
Who is he?
It's a good question. I like that it's just who. Does Who Edwards have a middle name? Because who Stevens does? Who Edwards doesn't have a middle name?
I mean, I don't know if that logic checks out, bro.
I mean, they're both called Who, so they both have middle names.
This person who has a similar name doesn't have a middle name. Therefore, this person must also not have a middle name. I don't know if that logic checks out, but I back it regardless.
It's not that logic. I don't know. I just wanted to check. It's mostly because I couldn't pronounce who Stevens' middle name. Because it's like Meredith? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it's Meredith. It's Welsh, whatever. I'm not good at Welsh. Oh. how are we, what have we been doing this week? Anything fun?
No.
Cool.
I have been playing
Destiny.
More Fallout New Vegas.
Oh, Fallout New Vegas.
So, Jesus. I decided to get stuck in with a DLC I didn't play before for New Vegas.
What did you play?
Called the Lonesome Road.
Mm.
Now, this might have been one of like the best Bethesda DLCs I may have ever played. I think it's really good. Yeah.
I've always been really interested in the New Vegas DLCs. Like,
The DLC Lonesome Road feels really post-apocalyptic and just.
The one that I started, because I did start a DLC in Fallout New Vegas, and it was the one where you're in like a future place with all the robots. I don't remember what that's called, but it was really weird.
Wait, what was this?
Fallout New Vegas DLC. Hold on. Fallout New Vegas Robot. DLC. Old World Blues. I had attempted to start Old World Blues at one point, but I think I was way too low a level.
Yeah, so my issue with New Vegas is that because I have found ways to generate tons of money, I managed to scrape together enough money to get an anti-material rifle.
Okay.
And bought as many explosive rounds as I could for it.
Mm.
And after that, things stopped being a challenge anymore.
Sure, yeah, I can imagine.
So I now kill high-level enemies quite frequently with high-level gear, which sells for an incredible amount of money.
Mm.
And the gunrunners have like 8k caps like per visit. So I just go up to them. I'm just like, here, buy all my things, please. And I just basically buy them out. And then I buy all of the explosive armor-piercing and incendiary rounds available for the anti-material rifle.
I get a bit like that in Oblivion and Skyrim. But also, because I'm using a sword, I can't buy ammo. So I'm just there with this hoard of cash, like, Oh, what do I do with this? Like, I don't have anything to use.
I use my cash, because repairing things is a big deal in Fallout New Vegas. You have to repair things a lot.
Yeah.
And it's And sometimes to repair an item yourself, you need to have a duplicate of that same item.
Yes, because you use the tape, right? It sounds like a sellotape.
Yeah, it sounds like tape. Use like the best bits of both parts to fix the armor. Or you can find somebody who is a repairman.
Yes.
Who will repair it to max quality for a large sum of money.
Depending on how badly damaged the weapon is.
For some items, it's just expensive no matter what.
Oh, really? Shit. Fair enough.
So, and that's why I like to generate loads of money. By looting every corpse. But the problem is, ever since acquiring that gun, nothing has been a challenge. I even went to, like, the quarry full of death claws.
Oh, damn.
Which I found especially difficult, like, on one of my earlier playthroughs.
Of course, it's a quarry of death claws.
And just killing all the death claws from a distance, I'm like, wow, this is really easy.
Yeah. Deathclaws, I find it really weird. I think I remember playing, it was Fallout 3 last time I played it through, when I was trying to play some of the DLC. I still haven't finished all the DLC for that game yet. That I was like at a point where Deathclaws were easier than humans. And I was like, this doesn't make sense. How does this work? I know, to be fair, it was the last DLC. I can't remember what the Fallout 3 DLC is. I think it's the one where you go into the swamp area. Point Lookout, maybe?
Point Lookout. Yeah, that's Point Lookout, yeah.
Yeah, like some of the human characters or creatures, even enemies in that area, are just stronger than Deathclaws some of the time. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like this skinny dude's tanking bullets like shit.
One interesting fact about Fallout 3 is that the enemies don't like level scale the same as the ones in New Vegas. So you'll find a lot of the time that the New Vegas variants are just much harder than their Fallout 3 counterparts.
Yeah, that's fair. I just, because like, no, Deathclaws were hard in Fallout 3 to a point, but then when I got to a certain level, just everything was easy. And then apparently this Point Lookout DLC was made because people thought the game was too easy. So they made it specifically more difficult to the point where just human enemies are insanely tanky. They just take damage. Like, they don't deal that much damage still. Although some of them do. But they just take, like, they're just bullet sponges at this point. I'm like, I have the strongest weapon in the game and I'm just not doing anything to them. Like, chipping damage off them with minions.
What would you consider the strongest weapon in the game?
I have no idea what the strongest weapon in that game is. But like, I definitely have, like, a pretty strong weapon. Fallout 3, best weapons. Let's have a look. I don't have the alien blaster, to be fair. But I do have stuff like... I mean, the shish kebab is the 20th. Best weapon, apparently. I do have the Fat Man and the Rocket Launcher, which are also on this big list of, like, incredible weapons. You know? Like...
I remember. Is the anti-material rifle in Fallout 3?
Plasma, microwave emitter. I don't think so. Lincoln Repeater, Metal Blaster, Jingwei's Shock Sword, Vengeance, Terrible Shotgun, Nova Surge, and Alien Blaster. No, it's not.
Because for me, the anti-material rifle is what makes everything easy, because... you just kill everything from a distance, and everything's just so easy.
No, it is just in Fallout New Vegas. Although there is a mod to get it in Fallout 3, because obviously, you know.
To be fair, I love sniper characters in my Fallout games.
I like playing sniper rifle. I like being like sort of stealthy sniper in a lot of things. Anyway, although I kind of don't like doing it in Skyrim because it's too easy, and Oblivion as well, but.
Yeah. Well, Skyrim, where everything is strictly melee focused, or and anything other than that is just magic.
The magic's a shit. Magic shit in Skyrim, right?
No, I think it's really good. Really? Yeah.
I mean, I know it, coming off Oblivion,
it just takes a while to like build into it.
It's different coming off Oblivion because you can create your own spells.
Yeah, and you can create your own spells in Oblivion, which is fucking dumb as shit, by the way. Who the fuck would... Who would think that would make for a well-balanced game?
It doesn't necessarily make it balanced, but it does make it a lot more fun. Because you can do all sorts of stupid shit. Like, Just however, oh, here's an explosion spell that kills everything within like a 5 mile radius. Okay. I love that though. I love the idea that you can just create your own spells, and like, all of these spells are broken as fuck. Here's a spell that turns me incredibly invisible and nobody can see me. Shit, okay. It's fun, man. It's just fun. I don't know.
Sorry, did you like being seen? Oh, that's a shame.
To be fair, though, if you get anywhere near, like, 50 stealth in Oblivion, you're still invisible. Like, but the second you hit, like, 50 stealth in Oblivion, the game's over. Nobody can even see you. I've seen people do, like, they'll be walking around, they'll be seen by a guard, they'll instantly press the sneak button, and the guard will lose sight of them and go, huh? Where did that guy go?
Like, that's... I love it in Skyrim, you shoot an arrow in somebody's head, wait a few minutes, and it's like, must have been my imagination.
With the arrow sticking out of his head, like, I guess I was imagining this. What's going on? It's so dumb.
But yeah, I like sniper characters in my post-apocalyptic Fallout games. I think it's a good place for them.
I think it is, actually, as well. I typically like doing sniper and a pistol, to be fair, but that's like my loadout in a lot of shooting games. Oh,
anyway. So I got a unique handgun in Fallout New Vegas.
Mm.
So you can find a character called the Lonesome Drifter in New Vegas when you're coming off Novak, out of Novak, and following... And you walk past the El Dorado like gas station.
Sure.
Gas and services. You find a guy outside of like a billboard called the Lonesome Drifter. And if you like talk to him about his history, you learn that he is the son of the Mysterious Stranger.
Oh, that's cool. I like the Mysterious Stranger perk, it's fun.
Yeah, he is the son of the Mysterious Stranger. And you can recruit him for the Topps Casino in New Vegas. He's one of the people that you can recruit as a performer.
Mm.
And if you can, there's like a 50 barter check that you can use to get his to get him to give you his handgun.
All right.
Nice. Which is called the Mysterious Magnum. Mm. And it makes the noise when you draw it when the Mysterious Stranger appears. And when you holster it, it makes the sound, the music sting when he disappears.
Thing. Yeah.
That's yeah, cool. It's really cool.
Nice.
So yeah, I use that as my pistol weapon.
Mm.
Because it's also quite a decent gun as well.
Yeah. I just like pistols in general. I'm silly, I guess. I don't know. In terms of weapon stuff. Oh, I've been playing... Well, I'd say I've been playing. I managed for 2 hours yesterday to get into Final Fantasy XIV. The new expansion's not out yet. The new expansion's out on the 7th, I think. But I've got the pre-release, and it turns out a lot of other people also have the pre-release of the patch. I can't remember exactly, but the queue was definitely over 8,000 at one point for me yesterday. Like, just waiting to get into the game.
Oh, you didn't. So, have I got a story to tell you about queues waiting to get into a game?
God.
So, when Shadowkeep launched for Destiny 2, so this was a little bit about 2 years ago now.
Mm.
The queue to get in the game was in the tens of thousands on launch of Shadowkeep.
Jesus.
That has only ever been the case once, and it has never happened again.
Yeah.
But that did happen.
I can't imagine.
I did not get to play Shadowkeep on the first day. I did not get to play it on the first day.
See, I did actually get into Final Fantasy earlier. I updated it, and then I played it about like 11-ish, 12-ish maybe, when people weren't on it necessarily. And that's fine, that was cool. But then everyone got booted out for some reason. The game.
Oh no!
The game servers just had a big old crash because it couldn't handle with anything. It couldn't handle it, and so everybody was queuing up to get back in, and it was like, oh, this isn't good. So there must have been 8,000 or like over 8,000 players or more, because I definitely wasn't the last in the queue. Trying to get back into the server afterwards, and like I was. planning to stream like the main story quests, and I was sat there on stream on Rabbits Ahoy for 2 hours yesterday, just playing Sonic Mania while the queue just queue like clicked down. I was like, fuck it. I'm streaming, so I'll play something else. What do I fancy playing? I don't know. Let's play Sonic Mania because I can sort of dip in that and it not be a big deal. So yeah, I was playing Sonic Mania for 2 hours yesterday on stream, just with the image of the queue ticking down in the top left corner of the stream. I was just like, shit, man.
Did you get in throughout the entirety of the stream?
I did. So I played Sonic Mania for 2 hours, and then I played Final Fantasy for 2 hours when I actually did get in. Which was, to be fair, I managed to get in, and it wasn't too bad when I got in. Like, the worst thing is you're trying to, like, target an NPC for you to finish the quest, and there's, like, a bazillion people surrounding that NPC. But that's the only issue, really. Like, it wasn't even that busy in there, I could see. But I think what they've done is they've added, or they've made all of the new areas instanced areas. So only a certain amount of people can get into this one specific instance of the new area. So it didn't seem as busy as I would have expected, considering there were 8,000 people in the queue. That said, I also didn't check Limsa, which is the area where everybody goes.
Oh, you didn't check your Limsa? Is that what I heard?
Limsa is one of the main plaza areas that people sort of hang out in. Limsa Laminsa. That's where all the ERPers go. And stand there as AFK for hours on end.
Ah, that's something I know all too well.
What, ERPing in Destiny?
Well, I have an AFK macro.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That runs whenever I'm asleep, whenever I'm at work.
Wait, so you're logged in Destiny all the time?
Well, I'm not logged in right now, but for the most part, yeah.
Right, even when you're at work?
Yeah, even when I'm at work, I have an AFK macro running that generates XP.
Oh, okay.
So there's like infinitely spawning enemies called Shadow Thrall in this area of this dungeon called the Shattered Throne.
Yeah.
And I can like place a rift and proc an ability called Devour, which means whenever I get a kill, it refreshes my health completely.
Alright, cool.
And these Shadow Thrall have basically no health. So, and then I place a healing rift to make sure I'm always generating health. And when I'm at max health, it starts giving you an overshield. And what I do with a weapon like either like Trinity Ghoul or Wither Horde, I shoot at the ground and it kills any like thrall that walk into it.
What's the point of doing that when you're... Is there not a max level?
There is, but there isn't a max XP gain. Like, you still gain like things for gaining XP. It also gives you glimmer or anything. So I'm at like max glimmer every day or whatever.
Sure. Fair enough.
And there are also artifact levels as well, or power bonuses to your artifact, which can go infinitely.
Fair enough. These guys are definitely not doing that when they're AFK. They're literally just standing around a plaza showing off their outfits.
Oh, that's... I'm going to be honest, that's kind of cringe.
No, this is why we stay away. We stay away from Limsa Laminsa when it's 11 o'clock at night. Because you get harassed by ERPers.
Why? What are they saying to you?
To be fair, they're not saying much to me specifically. But they do shout things. So there's like a shout chat. I am aware of the nightclubs in Final Fantasy XIV now. I am aware of the prostitutes in Final Fantasy XIV now. I've never used one. I've never used one, but I'm aware that they exist.
Yeah. And I'm aware cake exists. All right, Adam.
Okay. And you've never eaten a cake.
Never.
Because you think they're biscuits instead.
Different argument for a different time, my friend.
It was weird. I did go to one of the nightclubs the other day. It was interesting. There was a dude who was playing songs on Twitch, like a DJ. While in game, obviously they were just playing whatever. They couldn't play the songs in game. So they were like, hey, tune in on Twitch so I can play music to you while you dance in game. It was like, oh, this is weird. I don't know if that's for me.
I mean, I'd just be like, yo, so what made it think it was okay for you to communicate with me?
Oh, you go into the nightclub, I guess. Oh, and also shout chats are not with you specifically, so it's...
Fucking shout chats. I hate the idea of shout chatting already.
I need to turn mine off because I know there are people who have already finished the main story. So, like, when I log in, I don't want to log into an area where people are just shouting spoilers at random people in public.
Damn.
That is definitely going to happen. Like, I was watching some videos. There's some really cool Final Fantasy 14 YouTubers out there. I was watching some videos and they were like, yeah, you need to make sure that in your chat settings you've turned off shout chat. And you also need to make sure that you've turned off some people's names, because some people are going to be making characters with spoilers as their name. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's not good. Hopefully, I mean, if they're making characters, I don't know how you, I don't know if you can rename yourself. I assume you can, but it's just ruining the game for other people, right? It sucks.
Yeah, so that is less than wholesome.
Less than wholesome in this story based game. I know. Let's spoil it for people. So yeah, I need to go in my settings as soon as I log in. Hopefully, I'll spawn. To be fair, I know where I'll spawn, and it isn't going to be a super big area full of people doing stuff. So that's good. I will just have to go in there because I forgot to do that yesterday. I was just excited to play the game. But there's a lot of really cool improvements, to be fair, so far. Like, genuinely impressed with what I've played, and like, it's probably the best the game's been.
Is it free?
No.
How much is it?
Fuck. I don't know whether it comes with... I think it's 40 quid. How much is Endwalker? Okay. Does Endwalker come with all of the other stuff as well? There is a free campaign. Or, like, the first... The base game, A Realm Reborn, and Heavenswood are both free.
Mm.
In the free trial. And it's free for as long as you need. Like, it's just forever. And then you have to pay for the other three... yeah, the other three, basically.
Right, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I honestly think it's probably one of the best free trials I've ever seen in a game. Like, genuinely. Sure. Like, I don't see many free trials that are just like, hey, here are two free games. Play them as much as you like. It's pretty mad. Pretty mad. Let's see if...
how bad are microtransactions for that?
You can ignore them completely.
You can ignore any microtransactions.
Well, yeah. I assume
it's just random cosmetic stuff. I assume that's what we're looking at.
You can buy... It's mostly cosmetics. You can buy story skips. Get your way through... Basically, so you can buy your way through to the end of the game if you want.
Okay. What would be the benefit of that?
For MMO players who just want to like do big raids and stuff, I guess.
Oh, I guess. Yeah, right. Sure. Okay.
Or let's say, like how many characters do you have in... like, let's say if you want to make multiple characters, do you have to, like, would you, like, have to theoretically do the story multiple times?
Yeah, you would, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I see exactly where the benefit of that would be, to be honest.
Let's say there's not really that much benefit in having multiple characters, to be fair, though.
Why not? Just make one to fit each archetype.
Because your character can be anything. You can play any job in the game. You can swap at will. So you don't need to... Like, in World of Warcraft, I know that you can't swap jobs that easily. And you can't swap, like, certain things. And none of the races have specific, you know, pros and cons. It's literally just you create a character that you enjoy. And then you go and do whatever job it is that you fancy. And you can swap at will, whenever you like. So, like, you can make a new character. Like, I know people have made new characters and stuff. Like alternate characters on maybe even different servers, which is also a good thing because you can go talk to other people if you've got friends in America or whatever. But I don't see there's not that much need for making a second character unless you just really want to make another character and play through the game again.
I see.
Yeah, because I like I said, I know most MMOs are a bit more strict with what single characters can do. So I assume in Destiny you can't just swap your class now. You would need a
Well,
second class.
you have warlocks, titans, and hunters.
Yeah.
So you when you pick one, that is what you are. You are a hunter, a titan, or a warlock. You have a limit of three characters in Destiny. Funnily enough, there are three classes in Destiny.
So you need a different character for each
The
class, right?
intention is to you have one of each character.
Yeah, sure, that makes sense. Whereas on this, so basically you just pick your race, which is of a bunch of different races. So there's like humans, elves, rabbit girls,
What dog?
bunny girls,
Gross.
bunny girls.
Gross.
And now they've added bunny boys with Endwalker as well, so you can be, because they used to be race locked because they found it too difficult to create the bunny boys, so they went out of their way to make bunny
Right,
boys now.
I'm just gonna go to the bathroom. I can still hear what you're saying, by the way.
I'm gonna go to the bathroom. Shit, man. Yeah. So yeah, bunny. You can be a bunny boy, Charlie, if you want to be a bunny boy.
I mean,
Right. I'll be back in a minute.
you know, I don't know if I want to be.
You want to
I
be a bunny boy?
don't know if I.
I am a cat boy, to be fair. My guy's a cat. You can be a
Fair
cat boy or
enough.
a cat girl. Cat boys are apparently becoming an extinct race now because they're all becoming bunny boys instead of cat boys. Which is sad. I find myself really attached to my character. They give you an item called a Fantasia after you finish the base game, so you can change your character if you want to. So you can change the race and that stuff if you feel like you don't like the character that you've been playing. And I still have that, and I was like, oh, maybe I change to be a rabbit or whatever. But I've grown attached to my character, you know. I'm just like, I don't want to change him now. He's just who he is. He's just there. No, it's a weird one. Well, are you tempted, Charlie? Are you tempted to get in on the action?
No,
No?
I'm intrigued by it. I'm interested from it on in it from afar. So like,
Mm.
when you were streaming it and I came in and I sort of had a little look
Yeah.
and it always interests me. Like those sort of like I do find MMOs just quite interesting in general, like
True.
the state of them and why they exist and how they exist, all that sort of stuff. I do like looking at them, and like I know when my girlfriend was into Elder Scrolls MMO, and like I looked at that from afar, and the multiplayer in that seemed really cool. But yeah, I don't have it in me to.
You'd have the time.
Like you said, like when we were, like when I was watching you, I don't know what there's that yet, but also
Yeah.
like when we were when you were streaming it, and I was watching you, and we were having a sort of conversation through chat and stuff. And it's like I just find all MMOs just that it's just such a weird disconnect. I
I
always
agree.
it's the thing. I always felt like it was this weird disconnect from the camera angle and the way they're controlled,
Yeah.
which made me feel like I just wasn't doing anything. But then when Destiny got announced, I was like, oh my God, or when like it started to be known what it was,
Bigger,
like
yeah.
what it was gonna be
It's a
like, and I was
shooter,
like,
right? So,
oh
yeah.
my God, it's basically a shooting MMO,
Yeah.
essentially. Like I know that's not the exact what it is, but to really paint it in some very broad strokes, I was like, because I always thought to myself, well, if there was a shooter MMO, maybe I'd get into it. And then the same thing, I tried it, and I was just like, nope.
Is
And
it not
there's
because of the
just
movement and the camera, or?
no, that's just it's just MMOs. It's MMO mechanics. I just can't be.
Sure.
I just can't be arsed. And like, I think the closest thing to Destiny, for example, I could ever be into would be Borderlands.
Yeah.
And even then, it's a struggle. It's like, and it's just because like I can't, just can't. Like, there's times in, I don't know if you played Destiny 2, semi recently with my girlfriend and her brother and stuff. And there's times where stuff's happening, and I'm shooting, but I don't know what I'm doing. And it's not like I know what I'm doing. I'm trying to kill the thing, but like I don't know what I'm actively. I don't know what I'm actively doing. And I think it's the same with like. The combat in MMO feels or MMOs always feels really disconnected for me, like which is I think maybe potentially why I've started to gravitate towards magic more, because magic is slightly disconnected anyway by logic, and so it's like you don't have to feel the physicality of it, but like I know when I've played like whenever I've played stuff, I just can't like get engaged in it at all. I
Because,
don't
like,
know
when you
why. It's
swing your
weird.
sword, for example, there's no. You don't feel that weight of that hit. You don't feel anything about it. It's just sort of a, oh, I've just done a. done a thing. Moved. I moved. Okay, cool.
Well, I always feel that way about like Melee and Fallout and I guess Skyrim to some extent, but obviously I didn't play that much, so I can't really talk about it. But like Melee stuff and Fallout always felt really like, I don't know, empty is not a word, but I don't know what the word is.
I can tell, I can see, because I know what you mean, and I know it myself. Like with Skyrim, to be fair, they did work on it a bit more and tried to add some sort of heft to it. But it's always so. I always sort of use this with, because it's with Oblivion's melee combat as well. With Oblivion, whenever you use a sword, it seems like you're frantically trying to slap the enemy with a big fish, instead of like actively being in a sword fight.
Yeah,
and I feel like the Fallout games aren't to the same degree as Oblivion's sort of fish flailing, but it doesn't feel hefty. It doesn't feel like you're in a sword fight. It just feels like you're just, you know, the in cartoons where two characters start a fight and they do the like the slap thing where they like helplessly flail their arms at each other. That's what it feels like in those Bethesda games specifically to me.
It's the same thing I've had problems with MMOs, is it just doesn't feel like I'm doing anything. And I think in MMOs I'm doing even less.
Yeah.
Like,
you're kind of,
and I think obviously because things are designed as well for like multiple people and whatnot and all this other sort of stuff. And like I'm shooting and I can see the guy's health bar and it's just not moving. And what am I doing here? like I say, like Borderlands is the closest thing to that style of, secret numbers game. Like it's that style of like you're shooting and it's like ting 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 and you're trying to like break things down and from like wherever. And like the only reason I like those games is because I just think they're funny. But like
they are, but I mean the Borderlands 2 specifically is a very funny game.
Yeah, but when I play, for example, Destiny's not written to be a comedy.
No,
there's funny lines and funny stuff in it, but it's not written to be a comedy game, unlike...
True.
Not like Borderlands is maybe a comedy game, but it's comedic at least. I can't just... There's something about that, it does not connect with me at all. Like, I really can't get on with it.
I get that, I absolutely do. And I think the difference with Final Fantasy XIV specifically... For me, in terms of like the MMO stuff, because while it took me a while to get into the combat, to be fair, and I am enjoying the combat since I'm like playing it now, but I think the thing that's big for me more than anything is that it's at its heart a Final Fantasy game with a Final Fantasy story with like interesting characters and interesting worlds and stuff like that, more than it is an MMORPG, a World of Warcraft game or whatever.
My take from this is that, Charlie, have you and the girlfriend finally decided to give up?
No, I have, but...
Your girlfriend's not giving up?
Nah, but... It's not even I've not given up, I just don't care.
But I think that was you to begin with, right? You just didn't care.
It was, but I wanted to, but I just can't.
Mm.
I just can't get to the stage where I will. Ever. It just doesn't happen. But it's always... I don't know. It's odd because I'll play... It's weird because I would assume I would feel the same way about, say, a tactics game, right? So you could say Civ or XCOM or even Flipping Football Manager if you want to put it in those terms.
Sure.
Like, I feel like I would feel that way, the same thing, because ultimately you're kind of just doing the same thing. Like, you're putting a character... Like, say, in XCOM, you're putting a character into a position... And then you're pressing an ability to use. You don't do any of the aiming. You don't do any of that. You're just sort of doing that. But for some reason, that feels really satisfying. Yet, with like MMOs, there's something about... I don't know what it... I really can't explain what it is. I just can't be asked. I don't know. I say can't be asked because that's an easy way of me saying it. But I don't understand why I don't like it at all. I don't know.
I get you.
So it's tempting.
There's a lot to be desired in feeling like an all-powerful general.
Well, there is that. There is that, I guess. But yeah, no. As interested as I am from afar in Final Fantasy 14 or Elder Scrolls Online or whatever, flipping Destiny. Destiny's another good example. Something like I'm really interested in, but just can never get to grips with
Fallout. Fallout Scrolls New Vegas Online. True. Morrowind again.
Morrowind again, yeah.
Do you think that would be a good title for a video game?
It would be fantastic. Yeah, Endwalker's 30 quid and it does come with the other expansions, I'm just checking now. So you buy Endwalker and you get all the other expansions with it as well. Which is very cool. I understand this. I understand what you mean. I'll be honest, I don't think I would have ever been interested in any of this sort of stuff if it not, you know, for the brand name that comes with it. Like, there is almost no chance that I would have played World of Warcraft. Like, almost zero chance. Especially not now, but, like, even back in the day when it was, you know, supposed to be amazing. Like, there's no chance that that would have appealed to me as a teenager. Like, even remotely. I'd just been like, this looks whatever. Same with Destiny. Like, I understand why people like Destiny, but I look at Destiny, I'm like, I don't think this is the game that I would... Like, I played the first Destiny for a bit on my own, and I was like, you know what? Fair play, it's fine, but this is not for me. And like stuff like Borderlands and I guess to, you know, to an extent, like all games are fun with friends, right? Like,
yeah, it's my eternal problem with gaming in the year all of 2021 is, oh look, you can play with your friends. Yeah, anything's fun with your friends.
Everything's fun with your friends. Yeah, like it doesn't have to be. I think I remember the it might have been a review of like Resident Evil 5 or something, zero punctuation thing, where he was like, you're asking me to review my friends with this game, basically. Oh, it might have actually been Borderlands, to be fair. And he was like, you're asking me to review my friends, and I don't have any friends, so I'm playing it on my own, reviewing the game, and it's not very interesting. You know? I understand. I understand that.
There's like, who is it? I can't remember which gaming YouTuber it is. I can't remember. But, no, I can't remember. But like they who do like sort of review style videos and manga style essay style videos about specific games or whatever, they're just talking about how Resident Evil 6 is probably their favourite Resident Evil despite the fact it's actively bad or whatever. It's one of their favourite bad games, but just because you can actually just play it with friends and it's still fun, and it's like, I just think it's such a...
It's the same with Resident Evil 5, right? That's why a lot of people loved Resident Evil 5, because they could just play it with their friends.
To some extent, I mean, it's a weird one. But Resident Evil 5, just compared to 6, is good. But
oh, sure, yeah.
That's like anything's compared to 6 good. But it, yeah, I just find it weird. Not weird, but I think it's...
Playing with your friends.
I often feel like the video game industry found out a cheat code when they realized that,
multiplayer. Oh,
we can just make every game like asymmetric, like, or not even asymmetric, just like four player kind of co-op things, and then they'll all like it because they're playing with their friends, and also all their friends will buy it to play it with them, so also four copy, and it's just like, oh my god.
It actually is a bit of a cheat code, I guess. Yeah, you're kind of like, you're gonna buy four copies of the game. They're selling four copies of the game for every one person that's interested. And then
it's the worst thing in the world. I can't be arsed.
The best one was, I do remember, fucking Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles on the GameCube. Because you couldn't play that game with GameCube controllers, even though it's like a four-player game. You had to play it with Game Boy Advances. So you just had like four people who had to buy Game Boy Advances to play this GameCube game. Like, you've just spent so much money on the ability to play this like substandard co-op game.
I just can't. It's so much just like, it just annoys me so much.
What?
Reboot this franchise and there'll be four people and you do the end. Oh,
are you angry at Back 4 Blood here?
No, I'm angry at everything. Back 4 Blood's just this fucking result of everything. It's a result of the symptoms.
It's not the symptom itself.
Oh, it's not the root cause of the issue.
It's not. No, it's not just the root cause of the issue.
Every game looks the same now. Every game has a fucking menu, right? Where you have the menu and it has like whatever, just some characters standing about.
Yeah.
And then the top, the Fortnite on, over menu. The top, you'll have like the Fortnite menu. Game has the Fortnite menu.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst thing in the world. Just make a different menu. Why does everything? Oh. It's like, I call it, the other thing I hate is Destiny Mouse. I call it Destiny Mouse because it was the first, because it was the first game I knew that had it. But Destiny Mouse, where like, if you're playing on console, you have a cursor, but you're controlling it with your analog stick.
That's weird. That cursor is the worst. No, I agree with Charlie. That cursor is the worst thing on the fucking planet.
That's so stupid. No, I agree with that.
Yeah, with a mouse, that menu is brilliant, but with a controller, that is garbage.
Yeah, why would and you like, ever use that? That's lazy.
So many games have it now. It's like all of them have done it, and I'm like, and I understand why to some extent, because it's easier to design, right? You can design a menu for the mouse that then it also is transferable to the console if you have that sort of thing. And like, it means you can have like one UI and you don't have to like piss about, because like a UI for a controller and a UI for a mouse are two completely different things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, they just are not similar in any way, shape or form. But I hate it so much. I hate it.
Yeah, I get you. I agree.
Moving around us. Not the speed of sound. This is not Sonic. We are moving around at the speed of a Destiny mouse, just slowly scrolling about, inaccurately clicking things. It's the... Oh.
Using a mouse with the controller is the worst anyway.
I thought it's so bad.
With the controller. It's so silly. I don't understand why it passes, either. It's such a strange path.
I don't get it.
I don't know. Yeah, fun. Oh. What are you up to, Charlie? Are you played anything this week? Or have you been too busy?
Nah, just Football Manager whenever I can, but apart from that, nothing.
Yeah, makes sense.
I've devised a stupid formation that works and it shouldn't. Sure. I hate it, but it does.
Mm.
I was getting really angry because I was beating teams relatively handily with a 4-4-2 diamond. We're deep diving here, people. I apologize. Sure. With a 4-4-2 diamond, I was handily beating like big teams. Like I beat Liverpool, I beat Chelsea. Like I was beating big teams with it. But then I would come up against a team like Wolves, who play defensive, sort of like very defensive counter-attacking football, where they sit in just a formation right in front of the goal. Then once they win the ball back off you, because you can't get past them because they're all in front of the fucking goal, then they come flying at you. Basically what West Ham do, IRL. And like, it was really annoying me. Like, just for some reason, I just couldn't beat them. They kept beating me really easy. So I was beating like, I would beat like Tottenham 4-0. And then I would go up against like Wolves and lose 3-1. And I was getting really annoyed. And I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to go full... Like, Louis will appreciate this. I'm going to go full Sam Allardyce. So I was like, right, what I'm going to do is I started playing a 5 at the back formation, so I had way more defenders. And then I was just like, the most direct I could be, I'm just going to ping it at my strikers and just that's what I'm going to do. No more attacking intent whatsoever. I'm just going to wait, and then I'm just going to ping it. And it's the most effective thing in the world. And I'm so angry because I don't want it to work. Because it's such bull. It's like... Oh, it's just bad. I don't like it. I like fun football, and it's not fun football at all. It's the most anti-football thing in the world, but it works so well to the point where I've taken West Ham and we're winning the Premier League. Like, we'll probably flop, but like... I've been top of the league for like 2 months or something. I'm like, oh, it's disgusting. It should not work. I'm just bannering teams off. So that's the only thing I'm doing, really. It's just whenever I have time, just playing Football Manager and watching my disgusting tactic work. It's just the most annoying thing in the world, Adam.
I can imagine.
It should not work.
No.
As Louis can attest, watching Sam Allardyce football is the worst thing in the world. And it's just, ugh. It shouldn't work.
What's the most?
There
was a point in time where he fucking managed Everton.
Bro, he managed West Ham for years. He then managed Everton. He managed England for one game.
Mm.
Well, that was amazing. The only England manager to have a 100% win record, because he got fired after winning one game because he was corrupt. And then he ended up...
Rightly so, he got fired. Man's a he's a monster.
Then he turned up at Everton after that, right? After England.
I can't remember which order it was in.
How do you get a job after being corrupt football. In the same job? I mean, football. Football.
Because surely... money talks, and like Everton, this is the way I remember it. It was either Everton or Crystal Palace after England, after he got fired from England. It was one or the other. And it was because whichever one of the two teams was doing like poorly at the time. And so they were like, we just need someone to come in quickly because the lower down the division, the less money you make. And obviously football's about money or whatever.
Sure,
so,
yeah.
And so they were just like, panic stations, go, go, go. And so they just brought in this numpty.
Let's be honest. The worse your team's doing, you stop being able to afford the luxury of if our manager is a corrupt piece of shit or not.
You can't afford that. You can no longer afford the luxury of not being managed by Sam Allardyce.
Maybe
he's the worst. Everton were relatively lucky. You only had him for it wasn't that long. It was like a year, I think, or something like that. West Ham had him for like 4-4, I think, and it was the most just depressing. I hated it so much.
Jesus.
He's just corrupt AF, but there we go. He keeps getting jobs
because
he'll keep getting jobs.
Like, I know the name. I don't know him very well, but I know the name.
Big Sam.
Everyone knows him, right?
BFS, Big Fat Sam.
Big Fat Sam.
Yeah, everyone knows him.
There we go.
The one thing I will say this, as much as I hate Sam Allardyce, I do. There were two things I used to love about Sam Allardyce. And this was before he went to West Ham. Before West Ham, he was at Bolton and Newcastle. And he was at Blackburn for a bit as well, he was at Blackburn a bit as well. But his assistant manager used to be called Sammy Lee. Yeah. And he was still called Sam Allardyce. And so you had Big Sam and Little Sam, which Big I always Sam appreciated. And the other thing I liked was before West Ham, he didn't do it once he came to West Ham. Before West Ham, he used to do this thing where in the first half of matches, instead of being where the dugout is, he would actually sit in the top stand so he could get like a better view of what's going on the pitch.
Sure.
And it was all, this is the kind of weird nonsense I 100%. No other manager I've ever seen has ever ever apart from
I back him. That though, to be fair. I back it.
It makes perfect sense. I don't know why he stopped, but and I don't know why other people don't do it. But yeah, he would always go and
stop. Stopped when people started taking notice at it, which is probably the reason I would stop, to be honest.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Yeah. Great manager has several allegations. Like, he has on his Wikipedia page, he has like a whole bit for corruption allegations. So that's how you know that it's bad, when it's multiple. It's not even just the one.
Yeah, but I feel like most people on like Wikipedia have an entire like section for controversies or whatever.
Sure, but there's one thing about controversies, and there's one where it's corruption allegation. Yeah. I think that's what it's called. You'd have to double check, but because that man could not move without trying to earn money in a dodgy way somewhere.
Corruption allegations. Yes,
there you go.
Corruption allegations.
There are three: is Panorama, Rival Morrison, and Daily Telegraph.
Yeah, the Telegraph one was where he got fired from England. The Ravel Morrison one, that one's really, but that one's like just mean. But that was the thing I had at West Ham. And then the Panorama one was the OG one. That was when his son was like an agent and he was, that was bad.
Jesus.
But yeah.
Is he still working? He is, isn't
not currently. No. I don't think currently.
West Brom was the last one.
He was
till the 30th of June.
He was there last year, yeah.
Yeah, 30th of June. This year.
Sorry, last season. Speaking of football terms, last season, yeah.
30th of June, yeah.
Does Allardyce still continue to get jobs? Do he actually still somehow manage to find work?
Yeah.
If I was to read it by Adams on the Wikipedia page, I can figure out. It was West Brom.
Yep.
Then before that was Everton?
Yep.
Then Crystal Palace.
Yep.
Then England.
Yep.
Where was he before England?
Ooh.
I feel like there was something between West Ham and England. I can't remember what.
Ooh.
Who's crap?
Who's crap?
Who would be in a situation desperate enough to hire Sam Allardyce? I don't know. I'm sure there was something between West Ham and England, though.
Yeah.
Oh, Sunderland. He was at Sunderland, wasn't he? Oh, what numpty. It'd be Sunderland, West Ham.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember which way around it is. Newcastle and Blackburn. I don't remember
Wrong way around. Blackburn Rovers, then Newcastle.
And then Bolton.
Yep. Then.
Who's his first team?
Oh, it's not probably his first team.
I hit the ones before that are awkward.
You've got four more.
Okay, I know two. One, I remember Preston North End.
Sure, it was the caretaker man. That was his second team.
And I think maybe his first team then was it was an Irish team.
Hmm.
He's a fairly big Irish team.
I don't know if that big or not. I'll be honest,
they'd have to be top division at the time. Hmm. Who's a fairly big Irish team? Shamrock? Nah.
No.
Sligo?
No.
I don't remember.
Limerick.
Oh yeah, makes sense. Limerick. Okay,
Limerick, Preston North End, Blackpool, and Nottingham County. Notts County.
I did not know Blackpool, Notts County. Okay, fair enough.
Also, there's some more, like, it says club stats. I don't know whether he's, I don't know what he
has. Yeah, so that would have been his, that was when he would have been a player.
He played for Millwall.
Of course he did.
Played for Millwall.
Look at him.
Tampa Bay, Rowdies, Coventry, Huddersfield, West Bromwich Albion. He played for a lot of the teams that he managed as well. Bolton Wanderers, Sunderland, Preston North End, Limerick.
Yeah, you get that.
Yeah.
Managers are, like, quite, or maybe often is not the word, but they feel like they often have played for the club they manage because that's how you get an opportunity.
Did Alan Shearer start? Did he do stuff at Newcastle?
Yeah, he managed. That's the only team he's ever managed was Newcastle.
Yeah,
he played for Newcastle.
Yeah. And he played for Newcastle afterwards in the year. Yeah. Yeah, you do, don't you? You just sort of get it because you're there. And I mean, to be fair, you got it because of his name, right? More than anything.
Practically. It happens frequently. Like West Ham have had tons down the years, and I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm sure Everton have as well. Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to tell you off the top of my head, but I'm certain Everton will have.
I'm sure, though. I would not be able to, but I am certain.
Duncan Ferguson. He was caretaker for a bit. What, last year or the year before? Big dunk. Terrifying dunk.
I did not realise that Alan Shearer only played for three teams.
Yeah, Southampton, Blackburn, Newcastle.
That's pretty interesting.
I'd say he probably played for Newcastle for a good old while.
Yeah, it was over 10 years. I was going to say it was a decade or something. Maybe a little bit. I can't remember where he was before. So he was at an academy, I think, before Southampton. But then Southampton, this was when he was in a teenager, and then Southampton offered him an opportunity, so he went down.
Wolves and Boys Club.
Sure, okay. And then, then he moved to Southampton and went to Blackburn.
Yeah, 86, he moved to Southampton as a youth
player. Went to Blackburn, won the Prem.
92 for Blackburn, 92, 96.
Went to Newcastle.
96 to 2006, Newcastle.
He could have joined Man United, but he didn't. He said no twice. Because originally when he went to Newcastle, he had the opportunity to go to Manchester United, and he didn't.
I was reading about this with a friend before, and it was interesting.
Yeah, and then he could have gone there again and said no. Which respect? Man wanted to just play for Newcastle.
He was. He also declined Manchester United as well, apparently, when Blackburn Rovers were trying to sign him.
But there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, he was all right.
He was not the best player in the world at that time, especially
better off not playing for Blackburn. God, disgusting.
I mean, they won. They won when they were playing for Blackburn, so you can't say
shit. It's something neither of our teams could ever claim to.
Can't fucking say
win
shit.
Win the top division. It's like, insane.
It's so funny that Blackburn Rovers is like there are only a few teams that have, aren't there?
Yeah, I think that's
the thing is with a team. I don't care about history because history just means nothing.
I mean,
like you're only as good as your current team, yeah. And Blackburn currently is utter dog shit.
Are they doing okay at the moment in their league?
So, as far as I remember, they're lower mid table, I think, in the championship at the moment. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I'm not entirely certain.
Shout out to the Venkies.
Oh, yeah.
Who
yeah.
came in and went, what if we just drag these people down?
They won the last game against they won the game today against Preston Northern.
There you go, shout there out to the championship.
There you go. And they're fourth in the championship. They're doing alright. They're doing alright.
No, they have Bradley Dack.
They're fourth in the championship. They've got Fulham, Bournemouth and West Brom in front of them, yeah. They're fourth.
Fourth. What the hell?
They're in for a potential promotion.
I mean, yeah, fair play.
And it's close between them and West Brom, to be fair. There's only a point in it. So they could potentially be third.
Do they still have that player Butterworth?
Right, let me...
And the only reason there's only a couple of, like, Blackburn players.
Oh, Daniel Butterworth?
Yeah, that's the one. Because in my head, he's like, Brian Butterfield. Like, every time I see his name,
yeah.
I would hear, like, the Brian Butterfield, like, accent. The Butterfield fitness plan.
That's it. Bon, 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 bon. 20 cheese omelettes. It's I can't remember. All I remember is Hoisin Crispy Owl. It's so good. If you haven't seen this, I know a lot of people who listen to us will be completely lost. Go check out the Butterfield Diet Plan on YouTube.
Be fair.
Or alternatively, don't.
No, it's hilarious. It's like it's by Peter Serafinowicz, who you will know from Shaun of the Dead. He plays his housemate. Also, you will know from Star Wars, plays Darth Maul. You'll know from everything.
You'll know him from Spaced.
You'll know from Spaced. He's in Spaced, yeah? He's that dickhead. You'll know from lots of stuff. But yeah, it's so good. It's so good.
Peter Serafinowicz show. That was short-lived.
Oh, it was.
It banged, but it was short-lived.
There are so many odd, like, sketch shows in the, like, I guess what, early 2000s, mid-2000s? That just came out and then fucking died immediately.
I'm gonna be honest, he's only famous because of Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright, let's be honest.
I don't think that's true. I think he's more famous for like being a stupidly good voice actor.
Yeah, but I don't think he would have got there.
He's in Dark Souls.
Not without those two. He's
in Dark Souls. Maybe. I don't know. Like Shaun of the Dead, he wasn't big like, roles in any of this.
Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright had a huge history of just getting their mates on shows just making careers for
that's
them.
That's what all actors do, though. You know, I don't know what I don't know what his biggest thing was. To be fair, he was in Spitting Image in '96.
In my head, he's more a voice actor than he is an actual actor.
He definitely is now. He definitely is now. His career...
I know him for the Hot Chip music videos, but that's a very me thing to say.
That is a very
and I don't know him say. For it. I just know he did them.
Mm. When was he in Spaced? When was Spaced? Jesus Christ. 99 to 2001, he played Dwayne in Spaced. Before Spaced, though, to be fair, he was in a bunch of stuff. Like he was in Spitting Image. He was in a bunch of Smack the Pony. You know.
Oh yeah.
He played Alistair Campbell in a TV show.
Sure.
The man did have a career before Spaced. And obviously, after Spaced, he's been in loads of just, like, British sitcoms and stuff as bit parts. But then, oh God, he's in Neo Yokio. He's in, like, The Simpsons and stuff, man, you know?
I just say, like, as much as we enjoyed it that one time we watched Neo Yokio, it was
terrible.
It is objectively just awful, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Neo Yokio, for those who don't know, is Jaden Smith's anime.
Oh!
Is on Netflix. We did yes. watch it.
we did watch it.
It is terrible, but I think that's why it's good. It's got such a
star-studded cast, though.
Oh, it really fucking does. Let me click on Neo Yokio. It's
got such a star-studded cast.
Let me click on Neo Yokio just to remind us of the cast here, because the cast is exceptional, right? The main character is played by Jaden Smith, sure. There's also Jude Law, Susan Sarandon, Jason Schwartzman, Richard Ayoade, Alexa Chung, Willow Smith's in it as well, John DiMaggio, Peter Serafinowicz, Steve Buscemi, Stephen Fry, Ray Wise. Jesus Christ. Like, this cast is absurd, right?
I don't like it.
Why don't you like it?
I don't know. Everything you've said makes me very angry.
Richard Ayoade is a recurring voice actor in the Jaden Smith anime.
No, it's not got... Okay, describe the Jaden... Like, when you say the Jaden Smith anime, do you mean it was made for slash by him? Was he involved in that?
He wasn't...
Or was he just cast in it as, like, the main character?
He was cast as the main character. I believe he has a production credit as well. This is also created and directed by the lead vocalist of Vampire Weekend.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean? It was...
It's created by Ezra Michael Koenig.
Okay, I see why all the random British people have turned up in it now. Okay, yeah, that makes more sense.
More Vampire Weekend.
Yeah, I mean, they're not British, but I know, like Richard Ayoade directed some music videos for them and stuff. Like,
oh, did he?
I know they're in and around... West London. Like, I know they're in the posher parts of London, to be fair.
Sure. And the actual anime director did stuff like Rurouni Kenshin, which is also pretty big. I'm trying to think of one that you might know. Hunter x Hunter? You might have heard of that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's fake. I mean, a lot of anime names hit me and they just...
It goes
straight over my head because why would I take it? Random words.
True. Sure. But I mean, it's...
Hang on. We've skated over this. The lead singer of Vampire Weekend did an anime...
Yep.
That...
For Netflix.
Okay.
The Jaden Smith is the main character in... Supported by Jude Law, Susan Sarandon.
This is Jason either one of those things that's gone on for like 400 episodes, or it only had like 10.
It had 6 episodes and a Christmas special.
When?
2007 was the season 1, and 2018 was the Christmas special.
Cool. Okay, so it's not coming back. All right, fair enough.
No, probably not. No. It's about Neo Yokio, which is the greatest city in the world. In a modern-day alternate timeline, New York, where magicians save the day from ruin by demons. It's also basically...
What are you talking about?
Upper-class society. So Jaden Smith plays some sort of superstar celebrity boy who everyone hates.
Oh, now you've said that specifically, it's coming to gear a little bit in my brain, but...
He has, like, these pink dreadlocks or something. It's weird.
How long are the episodes?
22 minutes, I think. I'm not sure.
Okay, cool. That's fine. You'd know if it was longer. Okay, that's all I need to know. Whether it's an American half hour or an American hour, that's all. Okay.
Yeah. It's like normal. They're like normal episode length, I think. You're easy enough to... You can spam it. You can spam it in an evening.
I'm dangerously tempted.
I tell you, like, it's funny because I remember the first time we heard Richard Ayoade and we were like, that's fucking Richard Ayoade. But then he keeps turning up. Like, he doesn't have a character. His character is various characters. So, like, he doesn't actually have a character, but his voice is so recognizable that you just notice him in every scene that he's in immediately. I mean, that might help because I'm, like, a big fan of Richard Ayoade, but...
Yeah, but he's got such a specific voice.
He does have a really specific voice. Like, I think he's a bartender in one episode, and I'm just like, that bartender's Richard Ayoade.
See, in my head now, I'm seeing the...
Moss from the IT Crowd behind
I'm seeing the... What do you call it? His character from... Garth Marenghi.
No.
In the, what do you call it, in the One Track Lover episode.
I love that show.
Yeah.
In the One Track Lover, when he's singing One Track Lover and he's like, he's behind the bar with like the thing and he's like wiping the glass. I'm seeing that, but in an anime.
I mean, it might as well be.
Like ice, cold to the touch, and it isn't very nice when you're left alone. Oh, what a song.
Does Ezra Cohen have any other things? Time Crisis.
What do you mean, does he have any other things? Here you go. He flipping wrote an anime with Jaden Smith in it. Also, he is the lead singer in.
Oh, yeah, no, but I was wondering if there was any other weird shit that he ended up doing, and it says Time Crisis. I feel like. That's just a podcast.
I could be wrong about this, but maybe he was the producer on. What was that big Beyonce album? Lemonade,
yeah. Ryan was a producer on the song Hold Up by Beyonce.
I feel like he was a producer on the album. I can't remember.
It just says on that song, on the song Hold Up, and then he was nominated for the Grammy Award for album Lemonade. Due to the controversy. To be fair,
there was probably 50,000 producers on that.
I mean, yeah. Also, I don't know why, but it's at the end of the Beyonce thing. It says Koenig vocally supported political candidate Bernie Sanders. That's just at the end of the Beyonce line.
I mean, to be fair, that last Vampire Weekend album had a lot of like random collabs on it.
Was also credited as songwriter and producer on the single I Promise You by James Corden.
Yeah, that sounds depressingly accurate.
Performed with Major Lazer for some reason.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you look at like what was the album, Father of the Bride, the last Vampire Weekend album that came out, like, 2019 or whatever, I think it was 2019. Yeah. Like, Hans Zimmer was, like, on that album, and Mark Ronson, and there's just loads of really random people on that album.
Father of the Bride. I don't think I've even listened to this album, I'll be honest. I kind of stopped being interested in
Vampire Weekend. I was the same until my cousin's, like, their new album's actually good, and there's some genuinely good songs on that album.
Hans Zimmer is on the opening with Haim, Danielle Haim. Mark Ronson, McConan, I Love McConan. Who's William Shelby? Dynasty was an American band. Lakeside, Leon Frank Silvers, I don't know who that is. S.E. Rodgy, don't know who that is. Ludwig Göransson.
Oh, yeah, who's done a bunch of stuff with Childish Gambino, but also did the soundtrack for Community.
Yeah. Haruomi Hosono, some Japanese musician. Okay.
Steve Lacy, I know, was on that album.
Mickey Newbury.
Steve Lacy was on a couple tracks on that album. Yeah, but there's some good songs on that album. The singles specifically, like Harmony Hall.
Jude Law did some vocals as well. He must be good friends with Jude Law.
It's all good. It's depressing me.
I don't know how you become good friends with Jude Law, just in general. Like, it sounds like a weird thing to be, right?
What are you up to? Oh, I'm going bowling there. Are you going with Jude Law? Jude Law. Yeah, all right. Fair enough.
Like, he's not even that big an actor anymore, but like, it still seems weird to be friends with Jude Law.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still in the realm of things to brag about.
Oh, I'm friends with Jude Law, really? I don't know, if you're the singer of... I mean, Vampire Weekend's not that... They're not that big anymore, right? But I think it's...
I don't know. Again, I feel like we both think that album didn't do as well as it did. I don't know, I could be wrong about that. But again, I was not... Sure. I had no eyes on that album whatsoever until my cousin was like, no, trust me, you should have a look. But like, because at that point, I'd lost all interest in Vampire Weekend.
I mean, it did hit number one in the US Billboard 200.
There you go.
And number two in the UK albums chart. So it's just pretty.
That might be their biggest album, to be fair.
Maybe. Chart-wise. What was the? What else would you think would be their biggest album?
Probably their first.
The Vampire Weekend.
I mean, I guess their first or their second. You can make the argument for the second because the first is like good. And so the second album comes along and everyone gets it because the first was good without it having to be good.
First one, if you see what I'm saying. Number 17 in the US Billboard and 15 in the UK albums. The second one contra... Second one hit number one in the US Billboard and number one in the UK album... number three in the UK albums chart.
There you go. That's what I mean. So it must have been like... You can get the second one gets big. Like, if you look... I imagine if you looked at, like, total copies sold over lifetime, first probably has more. But for that initial peak for sales on day one for fucking...
Modern Vampires also hit number one in America.
You probably get a bigger one.
And you probably in the UK.
The second one is probably bigger, but just because you have that initial, you have the publicity of the first one was good, so everyone can get the second one, sort of thing.
I do actually have sales units for, I can have sales units for all of their albums, you know, if we're interested.
My gut says the first one would have sold more than the second one, even though the second one got higher chart position.
So this is Vampire Weekend's album. What do you want, UK sales or US sales?
Hi, boy.
Okay, let's just go by US sales because it makes sense. There's 1 million in US sales in the first album. The second album, US sales, 541,000. Third album, 500,000.
There you go.
And I can't see Father of the Bride sales, strangely. I don't know why.
Maybe it'll be way less.
Maybe. You never know. Try, yeah, probably.
But yeah, I think me and you think they're smaller than they were, and I don't think that's true.
True.
I think, yeah. I mean, like, obviously they're not going to hit the heights of, again, it'd be the same thing.
It's
like,
going to be fucking Ed Sheeran, yeah. They're not Ed
like,
Sheeran.
A-Punk might have sold, like, more lifetime copies, but they might get higher chart positions now because A-Punk was such a long-standing hit, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I get it.
That kind of thing. They're not going to hit the zenith of, like, what A-Punk was, but I'm pretty certain that, like I said, because I didn't listen to Modern Vampires of the City at all. I don't think that has Diane Young on it, which is the only song I've heard on it, and I like Diane Young a lot, but I've not listened to any of the songs off that album. And the second one, I know
Contra
some stuff from, like, I know, like, Cousins and Holiday Cousins. And stuff, but yeah, Horchata, but like,
I don't know,
you should listen, like. You shouldn't, because you listen to too much and you need to stop. But like, there is a couple of good songs off there, especially the singles aren't bad off the.
I really don't know that many. Vampire Weekend songs in general. Like, I'm looking at them and I know some. Like, I know Oxford Comma and A-Punk off the first album, but I don't think I know any of the others at all. I don't think I recognize anything from Contra. Obviously, I know Diane Young. That was pretty big in the UK, right?
Yeah, Daniel, I'm gonna say your thing, baby, right on.
Yeah, I don't know any of the on.
Cousins is decent.
Yeah,
that was done. The video for that was done by the guy.
Oh, I think I've seen that film. I remember. I probably would recognize the guitars in them. To be fair, but I don't know.
Yeah, probably. I was interested about a fourth album, Father of the Bride. Interested, but also turned me off. But that was because one of them left. Like, so the first... So, like, there's four members of Vampire Weekend, I think.
Yes, four.
And the production and writing was mainly done by two of them.
Mm.
And then one of them left when they were making Father of the Bride. And so I was like... I thought it wasn't going to be very good. And so, again, I just, like, had completely switched off from them. I didn't think about it, but... Yeah, my cousin was super into music. No, trust me, check it out.
She was fair. She was right, to be fair. Rostam Batmanglish.
Yeah, you're a better person than I for trying.
Batmanglish. I don't know.
I don't know how to pronounce his name at all. But...
Yeah, I mean, I know Rostam, I guess. Both.
Yeah, I think that's the name he goes by now on his solo work as well.
Yeah. Oh, it's a Persian. I'm not going to try. I can see there is a way to pronounce it on Wikipedia, but I'm not going to try.
That's a way to pronounce everything on Wikipedia. I'm never going to try that because I'm not capable.
Lids.
That's the worst thing about West Ham being good is we keep facing teams in Europe and Europa League, and I can't pronounce any of the players' names, so I just give up.
Batmanglish is what it says on Wikipedia. There we go.
Damn, I feel like you saying that has incurred the wrath of someone's hatred.
Hey, if that happened, blame Wikipedia, not me. And go correct it on Wikipedia. There we go.
That's sometimes see too. Things that are like supposed to be the way they're supposed to be pronounced in Wikipedia, and I'm like, are you sure?
That can't be right. Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. I usually listen to someone when saying it, but I usually try and see how I can pronounce things. I'm always very interested in pronunciation of stuff.
Whereas I just say out loud, I'm an idiot, and then I don't try.
That's sure, yeah. You could do that.
Which is what I would describe as the safe and smart option.
Sure, yeah. I mean, the worst thing that could happen is someone go, oh, that's not how you pronounce it. And you go, oh, I'm sorry. Didn't realise.
Yeah, but I'd rather just say I'm an idiot and move on, you know what I mean?
Sure, fair.
That way I don't have to try as well. It's the lazy option as well.
Mm.
I have to try it.
You could do. Anyway, I think that's all we have time for today. Thank you very much, everyone who came by. And took a listen. You can see this anywhere and everywhere. We will be up tomorrow on Sometimes Video Games Twitch channel. That's Sunday, 8:30 to do some community streams. Come join us because we have some fun. But until then, thank you very much, everyone, and we'll see you soon. Goodbye.
Bye bye. Ooh.